You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome along to this week's edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner in situ alongside Dave Tindall to look at three events this week. We've got the Hero World Challenge, part of the PGA Tour season, I suppose. It's got official world golf ranking points somehow. So it's there, the Hero World Challenge, the Australian PGA Championship and the Mauritius Open also to look forward to this week. Dave, first of all, warm welcome along.
Thank you, Dave. Hello.
We've got to get straight stuck in because we've got three events to get through. And
well, I thought you could have mentioned last week slightly. Nearly had a 350-to-1 double.
It was unfortunate, wasn't it? In the end, neither leg won.
All right.
But going into Sunday, it could have been a momentous day for the golf podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I specifically said it was win only, but hopefully a few of you backed it as an each-way double. It was about a 20-to-1 each-way double, I think. Matt Jones finished one back in Australia. Who was the other one? I can't remember.
Rafa Cabrera Bayo.
I suppose everyone was going, oh, typical him, but everybody bogeyed that final hole, so wasn't, you know.
It was a typical European Tour Sunday, wasn't it?
Everyone sort of fought over themselves. But yeah, close, but I still think these cross doubles at this time of year, something in them.
Mm. This is a week which we are eagerly awaiting, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Should be highly informative, and it's because Tiger Woods makes his return to golfing action, and this is competitive action as well. Make no mistake, as far as he is concerned anyway, it's competitive action. We've seen a bit from some members of the media suggesting that given that the Hero World Challenge is a limited field invitational event, it's not a real return for Tiger Woods, but we've got the best players in the world in the field this week. And the motivation for Tiger will be to prove that he's no back number and he's made a recovery from his latest injury problems. And he's in this field, but he's towards the bottom end of the betting, as you would expect. He's 28-1, Tiger Woods. Justin Thomas is 11-2. Dustin Johnson, 6-1. Jordan Spieth, 13-2. Brooks Koepka is 9-1. Ricky Fowler, 9-1. Justin Rose is 10-1. Hideki Matsuyama, 12-1. And it's 16-1 and bigger the rest. And you can cast your mind back to last year when Tiger reappeared in this event. And even though he only beat a couple home, it was a performance that offered encouragement. But subsequently, he only made two appearances all season. And I suppose the question coming into this event is, where is Tiger Woods' game and is he ready to compete?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a parlour game, isn't it? Guessing where Tiger Woods will finish. And last year there was a stat, wasn't it? I think he made more birdies than anyone, but he made six double bogeys. And that was kind of, you could look at that both ways, but I think ultimately the bottom line was he finished probably where lots of people thought he would, near the bottom of the field. I'm surprised he's not the outsider of this 18-man field, are you? I mean, I think he's been backed in, hasn't he? I think when we quickly mentioned him last week, he was 40s.
That's correct.
And people have seen the sort of clips on social media of him. Oh, there's a bit of snap back in his swing and he's driving it past.
If you listen to Brad Faxon, he's out driving Dustin Johnson.
Oh, come on.
Dustin Johnson must have been using a driving iron while Tiger Woods was out with a driver.
There's a lot of love for Tiger out there, and there's a hope, and that market move is, I think, a lot based on hope that he'll come back. But I can't be having him at all at 28-1. I think it's kind of, where would you say would be a good performance, not to finish last, or think something better than that?
I think 12th, I think something slightly 15th? Better than that, because you think he finished 15th in this last year.
Yeah.
There seems to be slightly more optimism with this comeback this time around.
Optimism last time.
I suppose so.
Justin Rose was going on last year that, oh, Tiger's looking good and everything, and I don't know. No one's going to come out and say, oh, he's looking awful, are they?
At least it's a home game for Tiger Woods, I suppose, playing at Albany like it was last year.
I think if he could finish in the top 2/3, that would be good.
I think a top 10 finish would be fantastic for Tiger Woods this week.
We can back that, can't we?
Have we got top 10 betting on
perhaps
this?
We haven't.
Given it's only an 18-strong field, I would be doubtful.
We have got
a top 10 finish. So Tiger Woods to finish in the top 10 is 6-4.
I think that's just sort of market to look at, because he's not going to win, is he?
So that's the in terms of a price, that is the expectation for Tiger Woods. He's expected to finish outside the top 10.
Yeah, so if you're sort of pro Tiger, I think you've got to be a bit realistic, and I think if you want to think he's going to do well, I think 6-4 for a top 10 is okay.
And I suppose those are probably his expectations as well this week. He's been playing plenty of practice rounds at Albany. He's been there for the best part of a week.
His
expectation will just to be, I think, to perform four rounds solidly, not make as many bogeys as he made last year, and gear up towards 2018.
Yeah, I think so. And I think for him, like you said, I know forever Tiger said I'm never going to play an event that I'm not trying to win. But I think if he finished top 10, I think he'd call that silent progress, wouldn't he? I think.
As for the course itself, it's a par 72 measuring 7,309 yards. And the scorecard is quirky as well, with five par fives and five par threes on the layout. And given it's a coastal track, the wind is a factor, and it's forecast to be pretty breezy, particularly on Sunday for the event. And as I mentioned at the top of the preview, for some reason, this event carries official world golf ranking points, which seems outrageous to me.
Possibly, yeah. Well,
I know the best players are there, but it's invitational.
Yeah.
And if you get an invite, you can squeak into 18th place, last of the field, and pick up world golf ranking points, which just seems ludicrous to me. But
that's another debate, isn't it?
But it is.
Have you got a bet in this one?
I've got two, actually.
Wow.
Have you got a bet?
Yes, I have. Very much so.
Are you looking at the prices there?
Yeah. Have
you just got one?
I've got one as part of a double.
All right,
again,
okay.
I'm playing the doubles again, and I've got one outright. I was just checking that we haven't cut them in my train journey, and we haven't, I don't think.
Shall I lead off?
Go on.
I'm going to put up my second selection first here.
Right.
Weirdly, because that's the way I've written it down on my sheet. But Tommy Fleetwood is
well, that's mine as well.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, 25-1,
I'm
glad.
It's big, isn't it? Why is he that big?
I think he's that big because I suppose there are two schools of thought with Fleetwood. One that is coming to the end of a long spell that may result in fatigue this week. But I think that would have manifested itself last week, if anything. But instead he posted another decent finish with a solo sixth with four solid rounds. He's getting married in a couple of weeks as well, Fleetwood, so I'll be looking forward to that. And he's tweeted about his excitement in playing with the world's best in his Idols event, because he idolised Tiger Woods growing up. And he's the Race to Dubai champion.
I know.
And this course should be right up his street as well. We know from the results he's produced on the European Tour that he can handle windy, links-like conditions with the best of them. And if it does blow, his ball striking will be a real asset. And I just thought 25-1, even if you take into account that he might be feeling slightly fatigued, is too good to miss in a limited field.
Absolutely. And I think towards the back end of last year's Race to Dubai, he was carrying that on his back a bit, wasn't he? The sort of pressure of trying to, and you could see Rose coming fast in his rearview mirror. I just think it was almost a relief to get it done. And then part of that relief showed in his top six last week, when you could have forgiven him for just sort of dawdling around, not even making the cut. But, you know, I think that idea that they're fatigued, I think we found that to our cost, didn't we? With Justin Thomas in that CJ Cup, we're thinking, oh, he's been out there a long time, but these guys are in their 20s.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have someone who's been playing a lot recently than someone who's just had 2 months off, or in Tiger's case, 2 years off or whatever. So, yeah, Tommy Fleetwood, I mean, he's 3 points shorter than Tiger. That is madness to me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I like Fleetwood this week
good.
At 25-1.
That's a joint bet then, yes.
It is, yeah. I like that. The other one I fancy quite strongly, and I'll have a bigger bet on Ricky Fowler.
Right, he was my next one.
In line.
Yeah, but not my actual one for the double. But yes, go ahead, he must have a big chance.
Yeah, 2 points each way I'm going Ricky Fowler at 9-1. I think we're going to see a big 2018 from Fowler. And given there are four places on offer, he's my second string to the bow this week. He's placed on both his starts at this event, at this venue, finishing third the previous 2 years. And he's had a run this season as well, which could be beneficial, playing in the Mayakoba Classic, finishing a good second behind Patton Kizzire. Can obviously handle the wind. Ranked fourth in par three scoring last season, 11th in par five scoring, two good pointers. Fourth in birdie or better average as well, which you're going to need to make a lot of birdies to win this event in this field. And he's been castigated for his strike rate in the past, but he won the Honda Classic earlier in the year. And it's not about what's happened, it's about what's to come, I think, for Fowler. And I expect him to have a superb year, and he's got a big chance in my mind of at least placing in this event, and he could easily go on and win it. So 9-1, Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's got a big chance this week.
Who's the double?
So the one for my double, the first leg of my double, is going to be another 9-1 shot, Brooks Koepka.
All right, okay. Yeah.
I just think he's almost playing as good as some of those Thomas, Johnson and Spieth at the front, and there's maybe a few little doubts about each of those. Koepka, last two starts, runner-up in the HSBC Champions in China, then he won the Dunlop Phoenix. You look at all his scores when he wins, this is from his Challenge Tour days, very, very low. I mean, he shot 16 under to win the US Open. I mean, who does that? So he's always one to look at when scoring is low. It's going to be low, isn't it? What do you reckon? Minus...
Yeah, I think it depends 18, on it. Does depend 20, on the wind, doesn't yeah. it? But it will be around about that range.
Yeah. So Koepka, that's definitely in his kind of wheelhouse. Great form, and it just hasn't really stopped playing great since he won the US Open. He played really well in our Open. Was right up there, finished sixth. As I say, the latest form. Matsuyama won this event last year when he was on a hot streak of form, and I think I'd rather go with players who are showing something right now.
Yeah.
Which is good for Fowler, who was runner-up in Mexico, obviously.
And good for Fleetwood as well.
Yeah, good for Fleetwood. So Koepka smashes it a mile, can just hole putts galore, can't he? Unlike maybe some of the other ones. Dustin Johnson can have bad putting day. Spieth putted poorly in Australia. Maybe that was the conditions there.
I think he's a big danger, though, isn't he, Jordan Spieth? Because if his balls... He said his ball striking was brilliant in Australia.
Yeah.
And the putting, we know that... he's consistently one of the world's best putters, especially from range. So if he can find it on the greens, he'd be a big threat.
It can, but sometimes I think we sort of brush it under the carpet as soon as he doesn't putt well. I think we always think of him as a brilliant putter when sometimes you forget that others are good as well.
Yeah.
Maybe with him, it's he can do the highlight reel brilliant putts, because he does miss his share of little ones, doesn't he, to be fair? And he's not like a mile clear on all the strokes gained putting stats. I'm not saying he's not a brilliant putter, he is, but I think sometimes we miss others, and I think Koepka's a brilliant putter when it counts as well. So I just think 9-1 on him, I think that's a decent bet. He's not got the best course form, but he's had two looks at it. I think he arrives here this time in different sort of form as a major champion, so I think 9-1 is a decent shout on him.
At 9-1, Brooks Koepka, the first part of that double. I take it the second part's going to be in the Australian
That's
PGA
right,
Championship.
Yes.
So we'll come to that in due course. Any others you want to mention just before we move on?
Not really. I think it starts to sort of thin out near the end. Maybe from Patrick Reed's wife's expecting a baby. That bit,
yeah, in about 8 days,
yeah,
I think.
Which could fall in line with this, possibly. And then after that, I think Berger, Kistner and beyond, I'm not really that keen on. Yeah, I say the only one that jumped out to me that's not in the top six in the betting was Fleetwood at 25s.
Yeah. Good, I'm glad. So Tommy Fleetwood for myself and Dave, and I've gone with Ricky Fowler as well, and DT, first part of that double is Brooks Koepka. Let's talk about the Mauritius Open next, which is...
That's
one
your
of the,
speciality.
Yeah, one of the two European Tour events. I've had a good look at this, and Dave's had a good look at the Australian PGA Championship. Mauritius Open, Louis Oosthuizen is the 6-1 favourite. Dylan Fratelli, 14-1. Alexander Bjork, Dean Burmester, George Kutsaya, Hayden Porteous and Nicholas Kolsarts, all 25-1. Clemenceau Day, Jamie Donaldson, Matthew Pavon and Paul Peterson, all 33-1. And it's 40-1 and bigger the remainder. I'm kind of surprised this field or this event doesn't attract a stronger field because I haven't been to Mauritius, unfortunately.
It's a lovely place, isn't it, apparently?
Yeah, apparently it's wonderful. Beautiful island off the coast of the east coast of Madagascar. And
you see, I think maybe I had to look at this last time. When you say sort of Mauritius, Madagascar, do you really know where those places are in your head? So to me, the reference point is it's not far off South Africa.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think that maybe is, that's why you've got five South Africans in the top six in the betting. They're good players as well, but that's why it's kind of dominated by those players, because it's near them.
Yeah, no, I agree. And yeah, I had to look at, to be fair, I have to look at the map every time we do this podcast for the Mauritius Open, just to remind myself exactly where Mauritius is.
Yeah, so it seems like one of those sort of like honeymoon places, but where is it?
Precisely. That's why I'm always surprised. You'd think like the end of a long season, perhaps players would go out with their families, you know, on a holiday to Mauritius.
Possibly.
Because it's such a wonderful destination, wonderful part of the world. But it's not a strong... You can see by the list of runners and riders for this event, barring Louis Oosthuizen, it's not a particularly strong field, is it, for the Mauritius Open?
No, not at all. When you've got like Clemens Sordet at 33, it's not the greatest, is it? But I shall listen with intent to what you have got a bet, you say?
Yeah, I have got a bet. Just before we get stuck into the betting, a bit about the venue. It's a return to... the course that hosted in 2015. It's at Domaine de Belle Ombre, the Heritage Golf Club for this year's tournament. And a South African won the last time we were here, George Kutsaya, beating Torbjørn Olesen in a playoff a couple of years ago. The course actually measures just under 7,000 yards, but it does play to a par of 71 with five par threes. It's a modern design. The golf course wasn't opened until 2004. The wind can play a factor here as well. I've got one bet, and it is a South African, in fact, but right, away from the top of the betting.
Oh.
And my selection at 100-1 is Jacques Kurisvik. South Africa's...
Have you said that right?
Yeah, I have got that one right, I think, because I'm a big fan of this player, actually.
I would say Kreiswijk.
I think it's Kurisvik. I do think Vic. It's Kurisvik, yeah. Kurisvik or Kurisvik.
You see, I used to work with Jim van Wyk.
Right, and that's how his name was spelled.
And incredibly, here's a one fit, and his brother is Wolf of Gladiators.
Really?
Yes.
Fantastic.
So that W-I-J-K, I say Wyk.
Okay, so shall I go with Jacques Kurisvik?
Yeah.
Is that close enough? It's spelled, listeners, if you want to actually bet on this player this week.
Yes, probably best to say.
His second name is Kurisvik. So I'll go with Jacques Kurisvik for this.
Okay.
And South Africans, as you mentioned, they featured strongly on the leaderboard a couple of years ago when the event was played at this venue. And this guy is one of the most promising South Africans. I've heard a lot of the Sky Sports commentators, South African, whose name escapes me now, South African Sky Sports commentator.
He's Zimbabwean. Tony Johnston.
Tony Johnston,
yeah.
Zimbabwean.
Yeah.
He's spoken about Kurisvik, and a lot of the talk in the lead up to this event has been about Sam Horsfield, who won the European Tour Q School to get his card, but nobody played better than Kurisvik over the last three rounds 4, 5 and 6, and he'll be raring to go, I think, as a newly anointed member of the European Tour. In his last start, he was 11th in the Vodafone Origins of Golf on the Sunshine Tour, and he's already made his presence felt in a similar event on tour this year. Back in February, finished 4th in the Joburg Open. I just thought 100-1 was well worth a pop on one of the more promising South Africans.
Makes good sense there, yeah, I like it.
So I'll play him a point each way. Did you glance at this event then?
I glanced at it, but you could argue that Alexander Bjork could be a bit classier than his price is suggesting. When you look at his proximity to others around him, obviously went close in Hong Kong last week. He's been playing a lot, but again, are we factoring too much into that? I mean, he's a young player having the time of his life, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Great rookie season.
I was tempted by George Kutsaya, I must admit, at 25-1.
Yeah.
You've just seen him go off so many times at 8, 9, 10-1 in a field of this nature. I know his form has dipped slightly, but he won the event 2 years ago.
Exactly.
And he was tied 6th in the Italian Open not too long ago.
Yeah.
I think from those at the top end of the betting, I think 25-1. If George Kutsaya wins this event at 25-1,
you'd kick yourself.
You'd kick yourself, definitely, because
his other European,
he's gone off a lot shorter in events of this nature in
and
the
his
past.
His other European Tour wins have come kind of in South Africa, so he's a good home player, isn't he?
Yeah.
Not quite home, but he's in that ballpark-ish.
Yeah, so he's slightly lost his form, but that has definitely factored into the price on George Kutsaya. So if I was having a second pick, it would be him at 25-1.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the Australian PGA Championship, which is the event this week, which is also co-sanctioned by the European Tour, this one. And a good field has gathered for the event in Australia. Mark Leishman is the 6-1 favourite. Sergio Garcia 7-1. Adam Scott 8-1. Cameron Smith is 8-1. Matt Jones is 20-1. And it's 25-1 and bigger the remainder. This is the event that you've done for Roto World, Dave. I've seen your preview on the Roto World website. So it's probably better that you talk us through things here. What course is being used? Which players does the course suit, I suppose, is the question, Dave.
Yeah, well, the amazing thing when you look at the past two editions of this event, the winning scores were minus 19 and evens.
Can
you ever seen that before, such a discrepancy? Obviously, that's due to the windy conditions one year and easy the next. So I think maybe if you found one player who was really good in one but terrible in the other, you'd think that was because of that particular weather condition. So I would look to somebody who's played it well in both. And Harold Varner has, obviously. He was got to a playoff 2 years ago, then won it last year. And he's someone, a strange bod, isn't it? A lot of Americans don't ever travel, but he's been playing in Japan and China recently and obviously came to Australia a couple of years ago, immediately fell in love with it. They like him. He smashes it a mile. He's a good personality. Mm. And he's been rewarded, had a fun time. So he's another one if he wins at 25-1. I mean, you could have the sort of... I mean, Kutsi isn't quite the defending champion, but he kind of is. So you could have a 25-1 each way double on the two DCs, couldn't you, in theory?
Yeah, you could, you could. I must admit, when I was looking through the event, I was attracted to Adam Scott.
Well, he's my bet.
Is he?
Yeah, it's...
Is he the part of your double, or are you having a single on him as well?
No, he's part of my double.
Okay.
I mean, course form, I'd like it if they played well in different conditions there. He's got a win, a second and a third.
It's at Royal Pines, this event,
isn't it? Royal Pines, yeah. You could say early in his career he struggled a bit in Australia. I think he was sort of trying too hard to sort of prove he was, you know, their big superstar, and he couldn't quite get it done or get things right, but finally did get a win. And now it's incredible, really. Last 15 starts in Australia, 13 of them were top fives.
That is remarkable.
That's phenomenal. I honestly can't believe he's not the favorite. It's credit to Mark Leishman that, you know, that he's the 6-1 favorite, and Sergio is Sergio, but Scott on home soil, not the favorite. That's a bit weird, I think. I know his form hasn't been great, but I think this will get him kick-started again.
In a field without one of the real big guns in the game of golf, no Jordan Spieth, no Jason Day in the field here. We are paying six places as well, and it is because he's not had a top five for a year, has he, Adam Scott?
Yeah, that you can sort of bend that, but he's had a six, hasn't he? So you can sort of bend it and say it's not been his greatest year. But if ever a player is going to find his best, it's going to be Adam Scott in Australia, and in particular on this course. It's in Queensland. This is absolutely his home spot, isn't it? That's where he's from in Australia, so he knows it like the back of his hand. And he's just played great there the last three times.
Do you think it's significant that he missed last week? There was a lot of talk about the Australian authorities, as it were, not being able to reach an agreement with Scott on appearance fees to get him to play the Australian Open last week. He's decided to play the Australian PGA Championship this week. Do you think that's because of his affinity with the golf course and he's thought, this is my opportunity?
I think he was always going to play this, his local event, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, and there might be an even extra element that he's going to be trying extra hard just to show that he was right all along.
So 8-1 Adam Scott is the bet for you, Dave, as part of that double with Brooks Koepka in the Hero World Challenge.
So what's that paying? Just under 90-1, maybe?
Yep.
So they're two very obvious picks, but I mean, last week they were two pretty obvious picks in Matt Jones, the defending champion, Rafa Cabrera Bayo. I also did Jason Day as part of a cross double, and that looked to be the sort of the banker element.
I thought going into the Sunday you were going to get Jason Day and Rafa Cabrera Bayo up.
Yeah, so you don't these doubles, yeah, it's lovely if you can pick out a pair of sort of 33 to 1s, but you can still get a nice old price just by going for the really obvious.
But you must be tempted this week. I know you did the win only last week. You must be tempted to do the each way this
week. Well, I'm going to do the each way double this week because the other bet I was thinking of having in Australia, I Facebook you with this actually and said a bet his price is terrible. Yeah, it has gone terrible. I was going to do Andrew Dott.
Yes.
But the early fancy price has gone.
I think that's across the board, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just looking at Andrew Dott, I mean...
He was runner-up in this event last year.
He was a bigger price with William Hill earlier in the week, but it seems like everyone's latched onto Andrew Dott into 50 to 1. Tell us why you came towards Dott as a bet.
It's nothing rocket science. He's Australian. He was runner-up on this course last year, and he finished really well at the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai, like 69-66. Plays well in the wind. He was fourth in the Scottish Open, two-time winner on the European Tour. I just thought he was out of line. It was nowhere near where he should have been.
Hundreds.
But 50s, that's one of them ones. If he wins at 50s now, I'll think, why didn't I?
Yeah.
I will have half a point each
half
way.
Half a point each way, yeah. Just because he jumped off the page for you.
Yeah, because you look at some of those. There's a lot of other players around there, maybe sort of promising, but they're not winners, and he's done it on the European Tour. So, and just that finish in Dubai just caught my eye. I was looking for a little something that he was showing a bit of a spark again, going back to the place where he was runner-up, and that was it.
Where will Tiger finish this week?
So I'm going to go 14th.
I'm going to go 12th.
Right, so we're similar then.
Yeah, for some reason I've got slightly more optimism about this Tiger Woods comeback than the last one, but we'll see.
Right.
I think I've half bought into everything that's been written and reported about Tiger Woods in the media in the lead up to the event. There seems to be an obscene amount of optimism.
Understandably, yeah.
Everyone wants him to do well, I think, don't they?
Yeah, I think that's
most people in the game.
Yeah, and we hope he does, but it'd be great if he did do well and then he's a factor at Augusta next year. That'd be brilliant.
Let's recap the selections then for this week. Dave Tindall, how are you playing it?
Yeah, so I'm going to go for an each way double in Australia and the Bahamas. So that would be Adam Scott in Australia at 8-1 and Brooks Koepka in the Hero World Challenge at 9-1. That double pays 89-1. Point each way double,
And you're having just half a point each way on Andrew Dott
at 50s in Australia, and then I'm with you on Tommy Fleetwood. You've got a point each way, Tommy Fleetwood. I'll have another point each way.
I like it. That's 25-1. The other bet I'm having in the Hero World Challenge is 2 points each way on Ricky Fowler at 9-1, and I'm having a point each way on Jacques Kurisvijk in the Mauritius Open. I'm going to get lots of tweets saying this is how you pronounce it. There will be a clip of him on YouTube, obviously, with the correct pronunciation. He's 100-1 in the event in Mauritius, so a point each way.
Even then, though, Louis Oosthuizen, and that's still a bit of a mystery, isn't it? And
he's
sort of almost settled for a kind of, well, whatever you want to call him.
Who's the player you don't want to win?
I would probably go with Fowler, but I'll cheer him on for you. But yeah, he's came very close to me.
I'd have to go with George Kutsaev, I think, at 25-1. I'd kick myself if he won at 25-1 in a low grade event with ties to South Africa, shall we say, in Mauritius. Dave, thank you for your company.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in. It's been good fun as usual. If you want to follow myself and Dave on Twitter, you can do at Dave Tindall Golf and at D Kellner. Check out all the betting on the William Hill website, sports.williamhill.com, or alternatively, you can check it out on the app. And if you want to get this podcast weekly, go to audioboom.com and type in William Hill. Alternatively, it's available at the usual podcast places. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Enjoy your golf betting this week. And myself and Dave will be back with a Tiger debrief next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.